study tonight, yes, Hebrews 11, but also in Genesis 22. So you may turn to both of those places. You got two hands. We'll start at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. And you just, it's hard to get past Hebrews 11. Because it's got so many, but it's there for us all. Because it's just God showing us that other people have walked the same path we've walked, and God gave them strength to walk it, and He'll give us the strength as well. We'll start with Hebrews 11, 17. And let's pray before we begin. Father, I pray that You'd bless the ministry of the Word of God tonight. Lord, anoint Your servant and Your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews 11, 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac also blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones." Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit about the faith of the patriarchs here, and some of them. And we'll talk about Abraham. We talked about last week about Abraham's faith, but also his faith would be tested very strongly here. And if you want to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 22, we'll do some study out of that. There's God. Could I get somebody here to look up Genesis 12, 1 through 3? I'll have you to read it for me in a minute. Man. Somebody want to take that? Okay. Okay. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, but also Barry's going to do that. But this, we're in Genesis 22 is when we're going to read from. Okay, just remember, Barry, you're under oath now. Genesis 12. Okay. Well, let's notice the faith of the patriarchs. And here we find that that Abraham would be tested to the strongest test there could be, in my estimation. He and Sarah had waited many years to have this promised seed to whom all the earth would be blessed, and they didn't have a kid yet. She was 90 and he's 100. So, you know, we're looking at a miracle here. Or it would take a miracle. And so we have here that Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac his son. And in Genesis 22, God tells Abraham, he says, "I want you to go to the land of Moriah." Genesis 22 and 1, "It came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" We'll stop right there for just a moment. Okay. Abraham's faith would be tested. But Abraham trusted God's word that a great nation would come from him, from his loins. Not from Hagar, but from Abraham and Sarah. But God called on him to do what we would consider the unthinkable. And yet his faith was above natural human reasoning. He had to know that God did not approve of child sacrifice or human sacrifice. And God abhorred the shedding of innocent blood. But yet God says, "I want you to take your son, go to the land of Moriah, and I'll offer him up as a burnt offering." Okay, they were all familiar with sacrifice, and they were all familiar with the sacrificial system of hearing from God or getting to God through sacrifice. But out of faith, he obeyed and prepared things necessary for the sacrifice, the wood, the fire, everything they needed. And they went to the land of Moriah, and they stopped at a certain place, and Abraham saw the place of Moriah, that Mount Moriah, for a land for far off. And said, we will go, and me and the lad will go yonder, and we will sacrifice and worship, and we will come back to you. Which was a statement of faith, you know, because he knew he had to offer his own son. But he said, we will come back to you. Okay. And I'll just ask you this. Has your faith ever been tested? Every day? Years ago, wasn't here, but a lady came to me and said, she was very upset, and she said, and she was pretty faithful to church. Her husband came, you know, when it was convenient, which wasn't very often. But he came, and so she had found in his truck, under the front seat, a pornographic magazine. And she told me, she said, if God's going to treat me like that, I just might not serve him. And let me tell you something. It wasn't God that did that. Plus, you will work this out, and God will help you, and you can overcome this, and you can stay with your husband, and you can... She said, well, I know I'm not young and pretty anymore. I said, well, you're... I didn't tell her she wasn't, but... She was. She was an attractive woman. She was a nice woman anyway. And so I dealt the best I could with it, but it bothered me, and I drove around the city that night. I said, God, how can somebody just, you know, lose their faith and not trust you? I mean, okay... Well, things got patched up, and everything went well. But it just shows you that sometimes God requires us to walk with faith in things that we don't understand. Amen. But out of faith, Abraham prepared whatever was necessary for a burnt offering, the wood, the fire, everything. He just didn't tell his son that he was to be the sacrificial animal. But he had faith that God would raise him even from the dead. And so it's just wonderful to see Abraham's faith here. In verse 5, 22 and 5 of Genesis, we will come back to you. You know, plural there, we will come back to you. So God knew, or Abraham knew, that God was able to raise him even from the dead if necessary. Okay? And so... He took his only begotten son, and he went to the land of Moriah, and he offered to offer up Isaac. And, you know, Abraham was not there saying, God, you got to be kidding. He didn't do that. He bound his son Isaac. He took the knife to plunge it through the heart of his son, and God stopped him. Okay? It's good, But out of faith, he obeyed God and prepared necessary things. When he didn't understand, he obeyed. That's hard for you and I sometimes when we don't understand what God is doing. You know, we need to ask a question, is it really God doing it, you know? But when we see that, he didn't understand, but he obeyed anyway. And you and I ought to obey God no matter if we understand what God is doing or not. And God, how many things has God been blamed for? That he had nothing to do with. Yeah, a lot of things. I'm sure. But faith was that God was able to raise this kid from the dead, and God still make a great nation out of Abraham and his descendants. But he knew that God would do whatever was necessary to fulfill his promise concerning a God-fearing nation to come from him. And here he is, 100 years old, in Saranani, and yet there's going to be multitudes. God said, as the stars of heaven, as the sand by the seashore. That's a lot of sand. That's a lot of people. And they only had one son, and God tells him, take this one son you have and offer him as a burnt offering. And so God would do whatever was necessary, or he knew, Abraham knew, God would do whatever was necessary to fulfill his promise concerning a God-fearing nation to come from him. Amen. And God made this. we can believe this same promise that people will come from the four corners of the earth, be saved, will join in heaven as the blessed of all the earth. Amen. God made this promise to Abraham. Okay, brother, we want to read Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That's the wonderful promise that God gave to Abraham, that through him and through his descendants, all the world would be blessed. And it would be, of course, through the lineage of Abraham and on down through the kings that finally Christ would come, and through his blood being shed and his sacrifice, all the earth would be blessed because anybody could be saved and born again and receive eternal promise. So you and I, if you're saved tonight, you're blessed. Amen. We can say that for sure. Okay. And you and I are part of the fulfillment of that promise in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. All the world, you know, of all the people in the world, why would he save me? He did. Amen. We don't have to wonder if we were good enough or not. Well, none of us were good enough. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But God chose us to save us from absolute destruction and judgment through his son. Amen. God chose to save you. Through you, through Christ, all the world will be blessed. Everybody can, people can be saved. Amen. And you're part of the fulfillment of that. And so we find here that Abraham, he got ready to sacrifice his son, stretched forth his knife, ready to plunge it through the heart of his only son whom he loved. So the blood would be spilled, and then the sacrifice would be burned up, and his son would be burned up, and Isaac would be no more in the natural way of thinking. In chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 6, so Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, took the knife, the fire in his hand, a knife, and the two then went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." Now one of the greatest questions here is asked by Isaac. Then he said, "Look, the fire, father, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb," or the lamb, "for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. They came to the place God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of wood. There's no mention of Isaac, any resistance from Isaac. He trusted his father to do the right thing. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And I can believe that Abraham had every intention of just carrying it out to the very, even though it was his only son and his blood, his flesh, but he took ever just prior to him killing his son, slashing his son and bringing his blood for the burnt sacrifice. He got that far. But the angel of the Lord, verse 11, called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And what a wonderful picture of the grace of God as well. For we know that God sent his only son to die for our sins. And there was no ram caught in the thickets. There was no substitute, because there could be no substitute for a sacrifice but other than Christ being the Lamb of God. God gave heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten Son, for our salvation. And so it says also in the book of 1 John 3:16, not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16, very similar. It says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." In other words, we ought to be able to do whatever is necessary to meet our brother's needs. And so, have you ever known that a certain time was coming in your life, and maybe you've dreaded it or hope it wouldn't come, but it did come? Truly, Abraham probably thought, "Lord, do you really want me to do this?" And as they journeyed to the land of Moriah, knowing exactly what was going to happen, knowing, having some idea of what was going to happen, maybe he just didn't want to face the hour. But his faith would be tested. Your faith, my faith, would be tested. Amen. And so we've got to learn to believe God's promises and believe God is going to be with us. God will walk us through. God will see us through. If we lose a kid, a companion, whatever we may lose, amen. It's not something I want to think about as possible, but if it does happen, then we need to realize that the God of Abraham is our God too. And God can walk us through this, and God can help us, and God can be with us. Amen. Incidentally, just right before church started, a lady called me on the phone and wanted to sell me a life insurance policy or a burial policy. I was tempted to tell her I was still alive, but anyway. But anyway, we think about these things, but they do happen. It will come to all of us. It's appointed and a man wants to die. But if you can picture Jesus, God's Son, knowing all of his life that the time would come when he would be offered up as the last offering for sin. Because in the cross being the last altar that he would be offered upon. Okay, we're not talking about the altar that we kneel and pray at, but we're talking about the altar where it would be offered, a sacrifice, and perfect, precious blood would be shed that could atone for the sins of every person and anyone on planet Earth. But Jesus, in his 33 years in his humanity, he knew the hour was coming. He told his disciples over and over again, yet they didn't understand what he said. The Son of Man must be, you know, sacrificed. He must die. Be crucified. Okay? And so he knew a certain time would come. And there's been certain times come in our life that we've dreaded. I remember my mother. And I was going off to college, and I got in my Camaro and was going to leave that night, and I was going to go. It was like a Monday, and I would come back Thursday, and she started crying, and I just a kid, I didn't understand. "Mother, why are you crying? I'm coming back Thursday." But as her last kid that was leaving home, you know. So that I can understand better now, because I've had two sons of my own that have left and gone on their way. Thank God they're living for God today. But for God, there was no substitute. God gave heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten Son, for our salvation. But the hour was always coming. In John chapter 12, verse 23, it tells us there that Jesus answered, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He lived all of his life in his humanity here, his 33 years, knowing that it would come to the time when he would have to lay down his life for the sins of his disciples, for my sins and yours, if there was ever to be a means of salvation for humanity that had to come to this hour. Then, in John 12, 27, it says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." That's the reason he came to start with. I'm sure when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he was a precious child, you know, and it did all the little things that kids do, and people, you know, thought it was wonderful when he took his first smile and when he said his first words and all that. You know, he was a human. He was God, but he had God come in the flesh, but he served out. He was Son of Man, Son of God at the same time. Amen. Son of Man referring to his humanity. Son of God referring to his deity. And so Jesus had come to this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. And Jesus could say, you know, I have waited all my life for this time. I knew it was going to happen. I knew the hour was upon me, but now that hour is here when I must lay down my life for the peoples. And he wasn't forced to do this. He chose to do this. He said, I have the authority to lay down my life and have the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received from my Father. He spoke those words. And so he did. He did that. Amen. And so he laid down his life. My friend, if I was called to take one of my sons and offer him as a sacrifice, that would, it's just not going to happen. First of all, I know that Jesus is the only one that could fulfill that, and he's already done that. But if you think about Abraham, you know, the one and only son that he had, but you think about God the Father, and there is just as much love and a greater love beyond our comprehension between Father, God the Father, and God the Son. There's a unity there that is far beyond our comprehension, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they're one in mind, will, and purpose. Never different. Okay? And so, for God to give up his only Son, he had to love you with a love that's beyond my love and yours. A God kind of love. And I'm just thankful that he did love us that much. I can say, you know, God, I don't understand you, but I thank you that you do love us. Man, don't have to die and go to hell and die in our sins and be judged that way. But you took the judgment for my sins upon yourself at the cross. They beat you. They did everything, that awful thing that could be done to a human being, to you, Lord. Because of my transgression, my sin, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. Lord, that touches a place in my heart, whether I'm talking to myself or just talking to the Lord by myself or I'm talking to you, it doesn't matter. For God to love me that much is an awesome thing. And there would be no substitute. You know, when Christ was to be offered, God couldn't say to his son, wait a minute, there's something over here. There's a ram caught in the thicket. It'll take your place. No, there was nothing to take Christ's place. Nothing could. Because he was the only sinless person there ever was. He lived the perfect righteousness of the law. Okay, so we know that he was offered up, and he was, and he rose again from the dead, and that's a wonderful thing today. And we know that God spared Isaac because God had promised not only Abraham but Isaac and Jacob as well, that through their descendants all the world would be blessed. Same promise came to all of them. Okay, in Hebrews 11 and 20, we'll go back there. By faith, Isaac, now this is Jacob's son here, Abraham's son. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Okay, the same promise was given that God gave Abraham, he gave to Isaac. Now he would bless Jacob with the same blessing. Because you see, from Isaac would come Jacob and Esau. And so let's go back to Genesis. Amen. We find that God had further plans. If I can find it here, I'll read it to you. Okay, we're still in Genesis. We're in Genesis 24, now 5, 25. Okay, we know that Isaac and Rebekah, they had twins, Jacob and Esau. And there was trouble between these two boys before they ever were born. Bible says they struggled in the womb. That's pretty, anyway, something. Okay, the days were fulfilled, 25 and 24. To give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. The first one came out red and like a hairy garment all over. They called his name Esau. That's what Esau means, red and hairy. So they named him Harry. And after his brother came out and took a hold of Esau's heel, and when he came out, he was slick. That's what Jacob means, the supplanter and deceiver. So he was slick, like some politicians. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. He's old, codger, to having twins. Anyway, I don't need to say what I think sometimes. And so Jacob took a hold of Esau's heel, so we find that they came out and they lived up to their name. And so I like what Esau did. You know, verse 27, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. You know, I like the idea of a man being a hunter, you know, if he's hunting animals. And so we find here that there was strong error in the parenting here, because Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob, okay? And Esau was a hunter, he's an outdoorsman, and Jacob just kind of hung around the house and learned to cook, okay? And so we find that Esau comes in from the field one day, and Jacob's cooking some red stew. And Esau said, if I'm faint, if I'm going to die of being faint here, so I'll just give me some of that red stew. And Jacob said, okay, I'll give you this pot of stew if you'll sell me your birthright, if you'll swear your birthright to me. And that would be the first begotten son, the only son, or the first son, and he would receive all the inheritance. Esau never paid any mind to it. He said, okay, I'll swear that to you. Just give me that pot of stew. And so Esau was hungry. That's why later on they called him Edom. Not really. So Esau lived up to his name, but Jacob lived up to his name. He deceived his brother into this. Just for a pot of stew, he sold his birthright. I mean, Esau sold his birthright. I mean, that was not a very good... If he was a traitor, he wouldn't do very good. If he, first Monday in Canton, he'd have gone broke. Real quick. So, deceiver. Later, Jacob's name would be changed to Israel. He would be a changed man from a deceiver to a man of God. His name would be changed to Israel. But Esau gave his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of red stew. And so we know that Joseph, later on, we find that. We go on in the account in the Hebrews here. I think. Yeah. Anyway, that 12 sons were born to Jacob. One of them was Joseph, whom they didn't know. Jacob didn't know that, thought he had passed away many years ago. But by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, which would be Ephraim and Manasseh, from the wife that he had in Egypt. And he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Okay, so we find here that Jacob lives, and Jacob begets 12 sons in that sense, which would be the head to the 12 tribes of Israel. And we know that Joseph was sold into slavery by a false lie, by a lie from his brothers. Amen. And Jacob thought that Joseph was dead for many years. And finally, Joseph comes to Egypt, and Joseph is deceived by Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar cast longing eyes upon Joseph, and she tried to get him to commit adultery with her, and he refused. He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? Now, he was in a foreign country that knew nothing of the one true God, except he knew. And so he was faithful to God, Joseph was. And falsely accused, he became an Egyptian prisoner. But in one day, in interpreting a dream for Pharaoh, he became prime minister of Egypt. And Israel moved to Egypt. All of Jacob's family moved to Egypt, and they would be in slavery there for 430 years in Egyptian bondage, and they would be drawn out of there and brought out of there through a great miracle, and God would use Moses, which means deliverance, and means drawn out, Moses does. And Joseph knew there was more. His two sons would be head of the 12 tribes of Israel. His bones would be carried to Canaan's land 430 years later when God delivered that nation from Egyptian bondage. So we see that God worked powerfully. God used human beings. God used people that were just like you and I. They weren't special people that were better than you and I. It's just that God chose the people that he would use. Amen. You say, well, I'm not as smart as they are. No, you're not. You're not any dumber either. You just God just used human beings. That's all. And God uses people today. And God has used some of the most unlikely people to do some of the greatest things throughout history. And there's just been miracle after miracle has happened through people that weren't in the upper crust of society, but God used them. And God used for his 12 disciples people that just weren't in the upper crust of society either. And so God uses people. God uses you. Amen. And so we see that faith here, Abraham's faith was powerful, but yet he passed it on down. Isaac's faith was powerful. Jacob's faith was powerful. And when he was dying, amen, he leaned upon his staff and worshiped God. He never quit serving God all his life. And we know that Joseph didn't either. Joseph was laid in a coffin in Egypt, but they took his bones to the promised land. And he made sure that he knew that. Even as Joseph was a prime minister of Egypt for many years, he could have anything he wanted. He could have all he wanted. He could say somebody has to die and they had to die. You know, he could do anything. He's all powerful in Egypt. But he never forgot the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He stayed with it no matter what till the end. And so when it came time for him to die, he brought his two sons to Jacob, and Jacob blessed both the sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and they became leaders of two of the tribes of Israel, or half-tribes of Israel. And so we find that God did a powerful thing, a powerful work, and their faith is mentioned in Scripture so that you and I can have faith too as well. We can trust God. We serve a God we can trust, we can believe. The God that's going to do what he said he would do. Amen. And I tell you, friend, I'm not dissatisfied with the God that I serve. I'm happy for the God that I serve. He can make a promise and keep it. Hallelujah. And he doesn't just tell you stuff just to tell you stuff. We can read his Bible and know it's true. What he said is going to happen. Amen. And so we know that we can serve God and be faithful to him. He'll be faithful to us. And God gave everything that could be given for your salvation and for mine. That's God loves you that much. God loves me that much that he was willing to sacrifice everything. Heaven's greatest treasure, his only begotten son, not his best angel, not his best invention, or he didn't invent anything, but his best creation. But he gave his son, begotten son, birthed in humanity. The only place he began is in humanity, Jesus did. He was eternally with the Father and eternally the Son of God. Amen. So we have a wonderful background here of faith. My friend, let's choose to believe God when we're walking through a pandemic, or we're not walking through a pandemic, or whatever we're walking through. I don't know whether we're either walking through one or being lied to a lot, but anyway, God is walking with us through it. And we can believe and trust that God that brought us this far will be here today. He'll be here tomorrow. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He will walk you through. He'll be with you. Just trust him. Put your faith, your full faith in him. You're going to make it. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me?